You know, sometimes we say that church is boring. And young people need to know that when we come to church, it's not boring. We need to do everything possible that we know how. Don't forget, they're in the technology age, and we need to do everything that we possibly can do to help them to enjoy church. Is that right? Okay, right. I am not the minister, I'm not the pastor, so let me get on with the word. So thank you very much. Palm Sunday, Luke chapter 19, 28 to 40. And we are looking at something called commitments, questions and observations on a day like this. And we are looking at the approach of Jesus, the Messiah, into Jerusalem. And his approach, we would want to know, is that of a very peaceful one. It was a very peaceful entry into Jerusalem. Perhaps there were those around who was expecting that a king would come and that this king would bring about maybe some sort of a revolution. And in a way, Jesus Christ was that revolutionist in some way, because later on we'll see what Jesus did, all right, here on Palm Sunday. But he being king, coming into Jerusalem, offering peace to everyone in the way he came, really set on edge some of his Jewish folks and some of those who were around him. But you know, he was that one who bring peace, who bring comfort, who brings joy. He entered in Jerusalem on Passion Week, and it is the culmination of the revelation of the Son of Man with messianic significance. What do we mean by that? He had authority. He had power. He had everything about him. Yet, as the children tell us earlier on, he came in and from scripture, riding on a donkey. How humble can one get? How humble can one get coming into town riding on a donkey? And one of the young people did say to us that he rode on horses, all right? And I wonder if he had rode on a horse, what that would really look like. But he came in on a donkey. That's what he did. So what are we to learn from Luke chapter 19, 28 to 40? We know that Jesus is God, who sees all people, love all people, and came to offer all those who would place their faith and trust in him the hope of forgiveness, redemption, and eternal salvation. So we know that Jesus, who rode into Jerusalem, he came with the message of hope of forgiveness. He came with redemption and eternal salvation. I think if I were you, I would want to give God thanks for forgiveness. I want to thank God for redemption. And I want to thank God for eternal salvation. Somebody asked me not too long ago when I was talking to them, with a couple of us really, and we said that, you know, we thank God that we are saved. The person asked, what are we saved from? What are we saved from? But, you know, we are saved from all sorts, all kind of things. But more than all, we are saved. That word saved When you look at it, that's what the people in Jerusalem over 2,000 years were saying. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. That's what it means to be saved. We are safe. We are safe from everything that is around us. Why? Because the King is with us. The King is with us. So we are safe, and we are saved. Jesus is that humble King. And finally, Jesus provided his disciple with guidance. What is the meaning of this? He provides them with guidance. You notice it didn't say he provided guidance for the apostles. He provided guidance for the disciples. Thank you very much. Indeed. I'm allowed to do that, am I? Yes? Thank you. So in the event of starting the final week of Jesus' earthly life, Jesus removes all doubt about his identity by entering Jerusalem as the coming Messiah. The Pharisees attempted then to respect him, but it was out of their hands. They could not accept him because they could not accept that Jesus Christ could be the Messiah. You and I know that for ages and for time that the Pharisees always seek and always wanted to get rid of Jesus. Always wanted to get rid of him. He said he's the Son of God. He is the King of the Jews. He said he's that. And so they seek to get rid of him. But you know, the thing about it is this, that when you and I, or when people come across a genuine person, as we see in Luke, the people of the day, they saw a genuine person. That person is Jesus. So what did they do? They gave him accolade. They paid homage. They give respect to the God or to the Christ who they knew and who they loved. You and I need to understand that when something is false, we do know about it, don't we? How many of you ever encounter anybody who is false? Oh dear, I didn't say that, did I? Oh dear, I didn't say that, did I? Have you ever encountered anybody who is false? Everybody gone quiet. Have you ever encountered then anyone who was totally true? Somebody you can trust. Somebody when you test their words, you know what they are doing is right and proper. They're upstanding. You can trust them with all of your heart. Have you ever come across anybody like that? Put your hands up. I have. And I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm not talking about your family member. I am not talking about your work colleague. I am not talking about your friend. I am talking about the Messiah, the man that called Jesus Christ. Eh? Am I right here? He is the only one, I tell you, as good as all of us is in this place. And as lovely as we look this morning, sometimes we are not genuine. How do you test to know that I'm genuine? All of us in this room, all of us in this church, we've got faults and we have got failures. But there is one who can help us in order to be that perfect person. So we are not perfect, but we are striving to be perfect. And the only one that can make us perfect is the one that you and I have encountered some weeks ago, some months ago, some years ago. We call him Jesus. Why don't you clap him and give him a round of applause for that? So we praise him. There is one Darrell Rock, and he has this to say. He said that there we praise him because he is great. We praise him because he's kind. We praise him because he looks after us and gave his life as a ransom. So he also went on to say that not only do we praise him, but the heavenly host, the angels, the cherubims, and the seraphims also praise God for his mighty act and for his divine favor. And so if the cherubims and the seraphims are praising God for his act and for his favor, we too ought to give God thanks for being favorable to us. I want to hear you clap and give God thanks for his favor. We're going to be very interactive today. And maybe you're not used to this, but this is what it's all about. Today is Palm Sunday. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So we got to remember then, because he comes not only as the Messiah, not only as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes as our Redeemer, he comes as our Savior, but he also comes as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And I pause. We live in a world where there's no peace. No peace. No peace in the East. No peace in the West. No peace in the North. No peace in the South. It doesn't matter where you go in this city. To a degree we have, we say we are peaceful, and we are peaceful people within the UK. But if we are honest to ourselves, there are times in the very news that we hear from the media, it makes us tremble. That if we walk downtown, we can still be fearful. Gone are the days, perhaps, when you and I used to go to town and in other places and we could walk peacefully. Today, we hurry along because there is a little fear there. Gone are the days when we do not leave our doors unlocked. Gone are the days when we do not walk the streets at night. We could at one time. We love walking. We do that. But some of us can remember the days when we could walk the streets at night and there would be no fear. Am I right? Am I wrong? But you know, the blessed thing about the world in which we live. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." And so because the people of Jesus' day, the people on Palm Sunday, felt that there was peace around them, they praised God. The Pharisees, however, didn't like that. They said, "Why don't you let these people be quiet? Let them be quiet." You see, the Pharisees have a falsified way of putting and projecting themselves. Outside, they look perfect. We are dressed, and I love to dress. We look the part, they say. But inside, there was something else. And Jesus himself, at one point and at one time, described them as whitewashed sepulchres. Simply mean, you're looking good outside, but inside you're something else. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, you and I in church today, we can't be a carbon copy of anybody else. We cannot be a carbon copy of anybody else. Fitzroy can only be Fitzroy. What you see is what you get. If you are John, if you are Mary, if you are Tom, if you are Jane, whosoever you are, you can only be yourself and no body else. So if you're a peaceful individual, all because of the love of Christ, you will be able to offer peace. I love the way the Anglicans put it whenever I visit them. They said, "We offer you a sign of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you." And in response, we would also say, "And also with you." Oh God, that's an awesome statement. I'm offering you peace. And sometimes, even with our family, with our friends, and our close colleagues, we try to offer peace, but there is no peace. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace in the resurrected Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Why don't we put our hands together and give him thanks for peace? So Jesus addressed the Pharisees. Oh yes. Jesus was very intelligent, you know. Oh yes, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit as well. Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Very discerning, very wise individual. And he looked at the Pharisees. And he said, "You know something? If you don't praise me, even the stones, these very stones around here, they will get up," paraphrasing, "and they will worship me." They will worship me. The wood, the bench, the chair, the carpet, hey, will worship me if man fails to worship me. Here's scripture. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his great act towards the children of men." Again, why don't we give it up for Jesus? Oh, you're going to get fed up of me today. Because if we don't do it, beloved ones, if we don't do it, and I know we are very quiet and we are very conservative, some of us, and look at Fitzroy trying to get me out of my comfort zone, and I'm not used to this as a Baptist person. I don't do that. It's not something that I'm familiar with. No, you are not. But today is Palm Sunday, and because today is Palm Sunday, and Psalms 100 said we should make a joyful noise unto the Lord, why don't we clap him and praise him for being in church? Oh God, I love Jesus. You know, when you're in love with somebody, when you're in love with somebody, oh gosh. Whew. When you're in love with somebody, you give them all the accolade, don't you? Oh gosh, for the men, you go out and you buy flowers and chocolates, and you take your beloved partner, whatever, you take them out for dinner and all of that. For the ladies, you know how to shop well, don't you? Oh, you know how to shop well. And you go to the best shop in town and you will buy your man a suit and you'll buy him the best shirt and you'll buy him the best pair of shoes. And you don't care what the price is. All you know that you love that man. And when that man goes out with you and you dress to the T, he must also compliment you. Am I right or am I wrong? You don't want to see that man wearing an old coat and you say, no. When you go out, you want to just look nice and you buy him the best aftershave and the best, what is it, spray and what have you. And the men would buy the ladies the best of the best perfume, Eternity and all that one, and all the other perfume in Boots, and that when you go out, you both smell nice and you look nice and you feel good because you love each other, don't you? Do you? You're looking as if you don't know what I'm talking about. You're looking as if you don't know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I challenge you today, when you leave church, go and get some flowers, and men, go and get some chocolates. If your wife eats chocolate, and you exchange a present. How did I end up there? Thought I'd test you. We do it because we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do it because he himself loved us. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Why don't we give him a round of applause for loving us? So he loves us. Yes, he does. He loves us. And there's a beautiful hymn that we often sing. I don't know if you sing it here. It said, "Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. I know not why. I only cry. Oh, how he loves me." And there are times when you're at home in your darkest hour. And there are times when your spirit reaches out to God and you're overwhelmed by God's presence. You're overwhelmed by the touch of God's hand. And there's no way that you can express your gratitude. You would cry. Some of us weep. Some of us kneel down. And that's what the people did. When they saw Jesus, they knelt down. They brought their coats. They brought their palm leaves. And they laid it before the King of Kings. And sometime in awe and adoration, we likewise do not know how to address our King. So we cry, oh, how he loves us. Do we love Jesus today? Yes. Hallelujah. 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 And when we say hallelujah, we get all warm inside. The last time I came here, I told you I drink port. Yes. You forget? I did tell you. Whenever I drink port, I feel warm inside. But I know that warmth of port is not the warmth of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings a different warmth. It illuminates me. Yes. It brings things to my mind in revelation. Things that port a Heineken the beer can't reach. Yes, that's what God does. That's what God does. When we pray to him, the Holy Spirit, warm our inside. The warmth of the Holy Spirit then gives revelation, word of knowledge, and I spoke to you about that sometime here. Word of wisdom, knowledge. It gives us understanding. Speak to us. Tells us how to behave, how to be ladies and gentlemen. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that comes through this one person here. His love for us. Remembering that when Jesus was leaving, he just leave us on our own. He said, I'll pray the Father to send you the Comforter. That's the love he had for us. That you and I would not be comfortless. And the peace that the Holy Spirit will give is not the peace that our neighbor, our friends, our colleagues, our family will give. But he will give us a peace that surpasses all human understanding. We say amen. Because that's what he does. A peace that passes all human understanding. So in closing, Jesus the revolutionist was ushering change. Change. And I know that sometimes we can't cope with change. Some of us can't cope with change. You know, for me, I can't cope when I have to leave a job or something and go to somewhere else. I can't cope with that. I can't cope with goodbyes. When somebody said to me, oh, you did very well. Thank you. I can't cope with that. Because you see, for me, I don't do it for me. I do it for God. And I remember one, I was leaving a particular job, and it was so overwhelming. I enjoy the accolade, I enjoy everything people say, but I just could not accept all of that. For me, that change of transition to say goodbye, thank you, and all of that, I find it very difficult. But Jesus, the revolutions, along the way, he does not disappoint anyone. There were those who would get angry with him, but he never gets angry with anyone. He showed anger only once in the temple. And it wasn't because he didn't love the people, but it was the way that they treated the house of God and the price that they were charging for the turtle doves and for the rams and all of that. He got angry because those people were unfair. It disturbed him greatly. And so his story was unchanging. Jesus is all about changing hearts and minds of those who he encounters. So every day, you and I, Jesus seeks to change our heart, change our life. Earlier on, we talk about forgiveness. We talk about redemption. We talk about eternal salvation. Jesus come to change, to give us eternal life. He brought redemption and he brought salvation. And I know that within this audience today, there are those of us who find it very hard to forgive. Very hard to forgive. But Palm Sunday is a time of forgiveness. Time of redemption. And may I invite you to Jesus the Revolutionist, who can change your life and make it better, much better than what it is today. God bless you. God bless you.